Wednesday, September 14th, having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, I want to take you to an op-ed which appeared recently in the Wall Street Journal. It was written by Phil Graham, a congressman from Texas. The name of the piece, Reagan's Lessons in Economic Leadership. Harry, right now we're seeing President Biden force through legislation and executive actions. He recently signed the so-called Inflation Reduction Act. Phil Graham says all that brings back four-decade-old memories of better economic leadership.
Yeah, he goes back to the days of Ronald Reagan, in which he was in the opposing party when Reagan was elected. I honestly did not know Phil Graham, who I admired, by the way, in those amazing years of Reagan's oversight and his eventual role in the Reagan administration and as an advisor, an economic advisor to Reagan. I did not know he was still living, so I am glad, and not only living, but highly cogent and insightful, as the op-ed reveals. The second thing is, I am always interested, as you know, in this matter of leadership. Every movement rises and falls on leadership, and leadership requires character, content, and requires competency. Those are the three elements of it. And the controlling factor is character, which defines the pursuit of content and the administration and use of your competencies or skills. Well, he gives us some insight, and I know Ronald Reagan is not perfect, but boy, I would love to have him once again as president. As Phil Graham in his article ends, we need such men like this again, and we certainly don't have it in the places where we need them at this moment, but yet I am praying that yet we might. And the insights he gives, whereby he highlights Ronald Reagan's character-based, character-driven, character-defined leadership.
Harry, the first example he gives, he talks about the fact that he was a freshman Democratic congressman from Texas, along with David Stockman, who a Republican from Michigan. The two offered a substitute for President Carter's final budget. Reagan appointed Mr. Stockman director of the Office of Management and Budget, and he and Phil Graham brought forth a proposal which became the foundation of the Reagan budget. Representative Dilbert Latta of Ohio, ranking Republican on the House Budget Committee, and Phil Graham authored the Reagan budget in the House. The word is overused, he says, but I feel confident in calling the Graham-Latta budget transformative. Harry, there's an interesting story behind this and how it got passed.
So first of all, you see, Phil Graham was in the Democratic Party from Texas, and then David Stockman, who is referred to, who will later oversee the budget office for Ronald Reagan, was a representative from Michigan, and then another representative, a Republican from Ohio, worked with Graham to bring this proposal, which becomes the foundational document, a blueprint that Reagan made use of when he came in. I, of course, remember this. It was my first year in the ministry when Reagan was elected, and I pastored a PCA church in Miami, Florida. I remember standing in line to cast my vote. And then the next day, hearing the amazing news, Reagan, who was supposed to lose by a significant vote, actually won by a significant vote. And then he began the process of tackling these high interest rates, unbelievably high, approaching 20%, and also runaway inflation. That's why Graham talks about this, because we now are in another inflationary economy in which President Biden's proposals will exacerbate inflation, according to Phil Graham. He says, if you want to see how to combat it, take a look at that program and how it was transformational, even being effective all the way through the Bill Clinton presidency. But what he says is what people don't know is what it took to get this thing voted for. Everybody knew it was a sane economic proposal in 1981 that Reagan was bringing. But 30 Republicans asked to meet with him, and he met with them at the White House. When he talked with Phil Graham before he went into the meeting, Phil Graham said, you know, I was just an economics professor a year or so ago. He said, I've never tackled anything of this magnitude. And Reagan says, well, what about me? You know, look what I was just a year ago, and here I am facing this. And they laughed about it. They got up, they walked into the room, and every Republican had a prepared speech saying how much they agreed with him. But our political constituency There are too many things that have to be eradicated, programs that have to be moved, that we'll have a hard time, particularly three Social Security programs. Well, that's the quote-unquote the third rail. We'll get politically electrocuted if we touch this. We know it's right, and there may be a time in the future, but it's not now. We don't see being able to put this forward in light of our present, quote, political constituency, close quote. Phil Graham says that Reagan paused, did not say a word. He looked at them and then said, after this long silence, "Gentlemen, I am confused. I thought we were having a meeting about the future of our nation, not the future of our personal political constituencies." And then he got up and left the room. Graham says there were even tears in the eyes of some of these congressmen who were so convicted by this character-based statement that we need to be statesmen and do what's right for the nation, not what's right for our next election. And all 30 of them ended up voting for this transformational economic package.
Harry, the second situation deals with Phil Graham realizing, as he's working with Ronald Reagan on things like this budget, that his Democrat Party really was not representative of how he was feeling about the issues of the day. He decided it was time for him to change parties, but yet he felt like it was the wrong thing to do as he was elected as a Democrat. So therefore, his decision was, I will resign from Congress and then run again in the same district, only this time as a Republican.
And Tom, he is fully aware that no Republican in his district at that point in time in the 1980s in Texas had ever received more than 35% of the vote. And he would not only be in that election running as a Republican, he would have 9 individuals opposing him. When this was happening, Lee Atwater was advising Ronald Reagan. When he hears what Graham is going to do, he went to him and said, "Whatever you do, don't resign. You can't be reelected. Just change parties while you're in office." And he said, "No, I can't do that. I just don't think that's the right thing to do. They elected me as a Democrat. And I think the right thing to do is to resign and then run again as a Republican." Atwater said, "There's no way you're going to get elected. And we've already lost too many in the midterm elections. We can't lose another one." And then what Graham didn't know is that Atwater called President Reagan, and President Reagan called him and said, "Phil, I just talked to Lee Atwater on the phone, and it looks like he's about to have a stroke because of some decisions that you're making. Tell me what they are." And Graham gave him his conscience-bound decision that he might not get reelected, and he knows that would be detrimental to President Reagan's presidency and his initiatives, but that he still thought it needed to be done. And Reagan looked at him and he said, "Phil, our constituency will eventually sort through who is doing something based upon character and who is not." He said, "You do what you believe is right. I like to say it this way, you do the next right thing. And remember, the whole world does not revolve around me and my presidency. It is important that you do the next right thing." Well, Graham did what he was convicted to do. He was reelected, and he, of course, became a primary advisor and participant in the quote-unquote Reagan Revolution. And that's why we said we need men like that to be elected in political office once again.
Phil Graham says in his editorial, "Reagan was more than a leader who knew who he was and what he wanted to do. He was a man who could keep things in perspective."
Tom, when you and I were doing research, we were certainly drawn to that paragraph, weren't we?
We were.
Well, what we try to do here is to keep things in biblical perspective, a God-centered, Bible-framed, Spirit-led world and life view. What we desire more than anything is the glory of God and the love of God extended to men and women made in the image of God. And that is done through Christ's church, making disciples who become salt of the earth and light of the world.
Dr. Harry Reader's book, 3D Leadership, is devoted to equipping the church and believers to multiply and mobilize leaders in all walks of life. 3D Leadership, defining, developing, and deploying Christian leaders who can change the world. To order your copy of this book, go to Briarwood.org/3D. Well, thanks for being with us today. Join us again tomorrow, Thursday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.